The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight, and today features episode 118 with Alex Coleman from episode 118. And Alex has quite the story. So he comes into real estate around 2009, leaves a job in finance, and then he has to figure it out. So he gets with a hard money lender, and then he is off to the races. And so it's all about his journey. How did he get from a career in finance into real estate and then begin to build his real estate portfolio? So Alex Coleman, episode 118, Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight. Let's get into it.
How did you figure out what your next adventure was going to be?
Oh, I messed up like right out the gate.
Tell
so
us about it.
It was the greatest gift that could have happened to me at that point in the business. So I worked with them through a whole project. I quit. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And so I went off, I bought a truck, right? I started doing small hauling. Like I was at Morgan at the time in college. So like in between classes, I'm like, I'll run trash. So I printed out these flyers and I would put them in like people's whatever, like go to Home Depot, just put them. And I was doing like trash for a while. And then that same friend came to me and he's like, look, I got an opportunity to buy a house. We can do it together. I'll put up half the money. You put up half the money. I'll do the work. We split the profits, right? I'm like, cool, $5,000 house. I'm like, it's fine, can't beat it. So we buy this house. I don't know what month it was, but let's just say we buy this house in like July, right? July goes by, August goes by, September goes by. I'm mad. I'm like, nothing's going on in this house. And so I'm complaining to another friend of ours. Oh man, he ain't doing no work. Nothing's happening. Da, da, da. He's like, oh, I know this guy to do work, right? I'm like, oh, you do? He's like, yeah, I know this guy, man. He does all this work. So lesson number one I learned, like when I take referrals, I try to take them now from people who have knowledge, even specifically about a field if possible. Like if I'm looking for a plumber, I want somebody who knows about plumbing to tell me who a plumber is they referred. But at this time, I had no idea. You know, he's like, this guy's a contractor. So I'm like, cool. I go and I meet up with this guy. And I'm so eager, he could probably like smell it off, coming off of me. And he's like, yeah, I did this house over here, this house over here, this house over here, but they're on the market. You can't get in them, but just look through the window. I'm so naive. And I just want to, like, I'm just so frustrated and want to get a job. I'm like, okay, cool. I go, I look through the window. They like houses that are on the market. I'm like, cool. So I take him to look at the job. He gives me a price. And I'm like, all right, I don't know what he told me, but I give him $5,000 to get going, right? So I don't know. I didn't know anything about like having a scope of work, having any kind of like, I didn't know the process of things. But the thing was, is that by me going through one renovation with them, I was like ridiculously confident in my ability to do a house just from like sweeping floors and moving drywall. Like yeah. I just thought because I saw it that I then could duplicate it. And I was wrong. So I gave him $5,000 and like he would do random things like put in a kitchen cabinet, a window, hang one door. It was just miscellaneous things. And then he came back to me and he was like, I get another $5,000, whatever. And I was like, sounds about right. Give him another $5,000.
Yeah.
I give another 5,000 and same things are going on. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. My friend comes to the job. Finally, I don't know how long, but we had already put out $10,000. He stops by one day. He realized I have no clue what I'm doing. He kicks the dude off the job, kicks me off the job, and we just shut the house down. And it sat like that probably for 2 or 3 years. Wow. And then eventually somebody came by and they wanted to buy the house. And we sold it to them and we still lost some money. But it was a learning lesson, man. Like that was the best thing that could have happened to me right then and there. Because it was like the deal was 5,000. We put 10,000 in. You know, so we it was just our own money. And so we lost. But one, I felt horrible because I lost my friend's money more than my own money. You know, two, it taught me that I didn't know anything and that I really needed to like learn. And three, I was just most fortunate because like sometimes people jump into large deals and get taken advantage of and they never get a second opportunity, you know? So I was able to take some time, regroup, figure it all out again, and then jump back into the next project with the experience that, you know, I paid for on the first one. So that was my first experience.
Definitely, definitely. And how do you bounce back from that? Because, you know, you mentioned, you know, this guy got $10,000. You both were all in 10,000 or so, and it sat for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would probably have that moment and say, you know what? I don't think real estate is for me. Maybe I should do something else. Maybe I should try some other venture. But why did you decide to go on and try again? You know, when you could have just quit and nobody probably would have blamed you.
That's a great question. I wanted to try again anyway, but what really pushed me was a circumstance, I believe, I'd say that, you know, I already kind of knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I was going to school because I was like at that point in life where, you know, you're 17, 18, it's like go left, go right. And I was like, let me just go here to kind of figure life out. But like when I was in college, I was already like trying to lean towards becoming an entrepreneur, but I also went to school for finance and I was like, I want to work on like Wall Street. And what happened was my daughter was born in July 2007. After I don't know how long I was in college, 6 years, I think, right? I was finally graduating in that June and I had a job at T. Rowe Price and it started like July, maybe like the 10th or something. And I was like, my wife is pregnant and my first child is being born. Like I want to be able to spend some time with her, but I'll be like going through a training at that point in time. And they were like, well, we could give you the day that she's born and the next day, and then you have to come back to work. And I was like, man, like, I just want to spend some time with my daughter. You know, I mean, I didn't expect like maternity leave, but I expected to be like a week or two. And then I talked it over with her and I was like, you know, I'm making pretty good money. You know, I felt like I was just graduating. Like I could always maybe go back to it if I wanted to. But you know, it was the main thing. Like if had my daughter been born a different time, I would have taken a job when I came out of college and maybe I'd have went a different path if it felt like that was for me. But at that particular point in time, her being born and being able to spend time with her was more important than anything. You know, and a friend of mine, him and I had started a home improvement business when we was like 17, 18. And he had a license and we would sell jobs to like residential, like homeowners. And his stepfather like had some experience selling home improvements. So he was like a salesman. And that was like my first business. So I kind of always like being an entrepreneur, but I like learning about finance and I did want to work like Wall Street kind of thing. But because of my daughter being born when she was, the cards just didn't align. And once I kind of got going, I just, you know, ended up sticking with even through the recession part of it, which was probably the more difficult. That was like the true test, you know, because I bought a house in 2009 and I fixed it up, sold it. That one went well. That was my second one. I did a lot better. Hired good contractors. I spent a lot of time on the jobs. You know, my contractor did really good and he was fast. And, you know, we could talk about it more, but it helped me like build relationships with like my hard money lender that I had borrowed from at that time. And then him and I started doing some things together through that. And then, you know, the recession and things slowed down and, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Got you. So hard money lenders, you know, mm-hmm. they get a bad rep. You know, there's a lot of different opinions out there. I guess that's the diplomatic way to say it. Can you talk a bit more about hard money lenders? Because it sounds like you started using them way back. Could you break down just how you got mm-hmm. in, how you heard about it, how you got to work with them?
Mm-hmm. All right. So how I heard about hard money, I don't recall exactly like the first time I heard the term, mm-hmm. but I know that someone told me about hard money. And it probably was my friend who I started doing work with, because his partner was buying investment properties at the time and he was using a hard money lender. So I assume that he's probably the one that told me about that, because I really didn't know a lot of people in real estate. But you know, it was like my first few hard money calls, like people didn't really want to work with. I didn't have any experience, you know, at that time. I only had the one property that didn't go good, which obviously nobody wants to lend to me based on that. So I didn't have any track record of doing successful deals. So that was probably one of the more difficult times to borrow. And like, well, what happened is I would call one hard money lender and they'd be like, nah, no, whatever. I'd be like, well, can you refer me somebody else? And they will give me somebody else. And they were like, nah. And then they would give me somebody else. And I think maybe after like four or five, like, no, thank you. A guy was like, I'll give you a chance. He's like, oh, you seem young. You seem like you. At the time, I think I may have been in college or like I had just finished up, because that was like 2009. And he was just like, I'll give you a chance. And so him and I, you know, I mean, he was like really good, right? So I'll say this about hard money lenders. A lot of people don't like hard money lenders. I get it. It's because of the interest, right? But at the same time, it's like, I understand risk and return, you know? So because I'm risky, especially coming into the game, I should pay more somebody should be compensated more for the risk that I present.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.